more like Christ. We'll turn to 1 Corinthians tonight, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As we see the power and the purpose of preaching. The power and the purpose of preaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. One of the indicators of where we are spiritually is our attitude towards the preaching of God's word. It certainly tells off on us when we do not have a hunger, desire to hear the word of God preached. I know that personally, by the way, that God has used the preaching of his word to teach me and to help me in more ways than I could even talk about tonight. And so it's just God's method, amen? It's God's method to stand and proclaim the word of God and read the scriptures, to expound the scriptures. And the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and speaks to our heart. It's amazing how the Lord does that, but he certainly does. And so we see these truths here tonight in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, let's begin reading here, if you would, in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. By the way, a verse that the Church of Christ knows nothing about. Amen. I mean, they haven't a clue. In fact, they'd hate this verse. I mean, they certainly wouldn't want to preach on this verse. That the apostle to the Gentiles, who was given the full revelation of what the gospel was, and he states clearly that Christ sent him not to baptize. That's quite a statement, isn't it? But in fact, he said, to preach the gospel. To preach, of course, is to proclaim. And not all of us could be preachers, of course, in the sense of being God called or God ordained to fill a pulpit. It was certainly the last thing on my mind to ever be a preacher. I never dreamed, never thought of being a preacher, but those that don't understand it, they look upon it as just you made a career choice. I know I've told you this before, but a good friend of my dad who had very little spiritual understanding, when my dad told this gentleman, said, "Hey, well, Mike's going to be a preacher," and his response was, "Well, he might as well be. He can't make a living being a farmer." As if I looked at the balance sheets and said, can't hardly make it farming, so I guess I'll be a preacher. Well, it wasn't my decision. It was certainly God's decision that he wanted me to do that, and he made it very plain to me. I like the statement, though, that we may not all be preachers, but we can all be reachers. Amen. We can all be a part of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am greatly indebted to the preaching of God's word. It was under the preaching of God's word that I heard the gospel. It was under the preaching of the truth of the gospel that I understood that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. It was under the preaching of the word of God that I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. And really, any good move in my life towards the Lord has been directly related to the preaching of God's word. Hearing his word preached, hearing his word taught, hearing his word expounded. And I owe a great debt to those that have labored in the word of God and have shared it and preached it in a wonderful and wonderful way. And I've had the privilege of knowing some great preachers. Now, I jokingly say I always wanted to be a big preacher, and I finally made it, you know. I have finally become one. But I have certainly known some great, great preachers that have so impacted my life. one of those men. I didn't plan on getting emotional, but you know me. One of those men was Dr. Donald Way. My goodness. Who's in heaven? Who's in heaven tonight? Dr. Way, when he was in the womb, he believes what had happened to him was that the umbilical cord wrapped around his arm and some other parts of his body, so he was born crippled. He was born crippled. But a brilliant mind. He had a doctorate in physics. Now, I don't know what that means, but it sounds big. He was brilliant. And Dr. Way had a burden for South Louisiana. He planted some 13 or 14 churches, I believe. I forget the number, south of Interstate 10 in Louisiana. And had a great burden for that part of the world. And we got to know him and got to hear him preach. And I tell you, we fell in love with him. And what a tremendous, tremendous blessing that I've received just being around him and hearing him and being blessed of him. And I thank God for preaching. Amen? For preaching. Now, y'all know me well enough to know that I'm not that polished of a preacher. I'm just not. I've always wanted to be, but not that polished. But I'll tell you what, I do believe this book. And I believe the Word of God is really what makes the difference. It's not so much the man as what God is saying through His Word to our hearts and sharing that wonderful truth. Look at what it says again in verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Paul's answering a question, a division there in Corinthians about, who's great and who's more powerful and who we should be following. And he basically says, I'm really nothing. It's not me. You shouldn't be following me. And I'm not the big muckety muck. I'm not the big high chief. I'm just a servant to preach the Word of God. And I tell you, that's a high calling to be called. And it's a wonderful blessing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the great joys of being saved is telling and sharing the gospel with someone else. And then seeing them, of course, come to Christ. What a thrill that is. What a blessing that is. He sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. Not with wisdom of words. That is, I'm not trying to impress anybody. In fact, he speaks a little further about that. If you look in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or of the wisdom declared, or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God." I mean, Paul said, I wasn't a real good speaker. I didn't really have a great gift in speaking. Now we read in the Bible that Apollos did. I mean, Apollos was a grand speaker, could hold great attention to people. But he said, that's really not the gift. The gift is of God. The gift is in the power of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. He said, look at it, verse 17 again, "Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Now, what's that all about? Paul said, I want you to understand, it's not about me, it's about the Lord. You see, again, in chapter 1, there was division. There were those that said, well, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and some said, I'm of Christ. And the argument is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Good night, get your eyes off of men, and get your eyes back upon the Lord and the truth of the gospel. And the power of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel. Oh, that we'd never lose our fervor to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Look at verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." I mean, the simple, unregenerated human mind sees no no reason to be talking about the cross, no understanding about how the cross could save anybody, how the Lord Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross means anything to them. He said they consider it foolishness. The preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. Foolishness. I'd say a lot of people think we're foolish up here tonight, having a service on Sunday evening when we could be back at home just resting, relaxing. What's wrong with them people? They must be deranged. They must have major problems. What is it about those Christians? It says it's foolishness. But look what the gospel is in verse 18. But unto us which are saved. Don't you like that word saved? Saved. I like that word. Not just changed. Not just, you know, I'm trying to do good. But saved. Saved. Amen. I mean, that's a Bible word. That's a Bible word for being redeemed, being born again, being saved. I'm glad tonight that I could stand and say, listen, I am saved. I'm saved. Saved. I remember as a young boy growing up around folks that couldn't, they didn't believe you could know that you're saved. I mean, you just had to sort of hope so, think so, maybe so, you know, try to work your way in. I said, well, I know I'm saved. Well, you can't know that. You can't know that. Nobody knows that until you get to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Amen? Aren't you glad that the Bible says you can know that you're saved? Not think so, hope so, maybe so, if so, you can know that you're saved. Hey, you say, how do you know that you're saved? Hey, because I know Jesus. And thank God he knows me. Amen? You know, I like to liken it unto being married. You know, if you ask a couple, you say, are you married? They say, well, I don't know. I think so. I hope so. We're hanging in there. I'm not sure if we're really married. That's foolish talk. Amen. Amen. That's foolish. You say the simple question, well, how do you know that you're married? You say, well, man, I was there. I was there when the I do's was said. How many of you fellas was nervous when you got up there to do the I do's? Was anybody like me and just scared to death? I was. Now, I wanted to marry Miss Deb ever since I was in junior high. I tell you, I wanted to marry her. So it wasn't that I didn't want to be with her. It wasn't that I didn't want to be married. But, man, I was scared to death, you know, before that big crowd, standing up there and having to repeat those vows. By the way, I don't want to do that again. Amen. I don't do that again. The I do's were said. I was there. Hey, how do you know that you're saved? Well, I hope you could say I was there. I was there when the Lord convicted me, when the Lord showed me I was lost. I was there when I seen Jesus had died for me upon a cross. I was there when he convicted my heart that I was dying and going to a devil's hell. I was there when Jesus said, would you take me? Would you receive me as your Savior? I was there when I said yes. Amen. You can know that you're saved. You can know that you've been born again. Friend, the most vital question that you could answer on planet Earth is, are you saved? Are you saved? But unto us which are saved, look at it, it is the power of God. The power of God. Friend, that's the preaching of the cross. That's the purpose and the plan of God, to share the word of God. Now the Bible goes into a long rendition here about the wisdom of the world and how the world, you know, looks at things, you know, with a very narrow understanding. And God doesn't necessarily need the wisdom of the world. In fact, he made it foolishness. And when you hear some of these high-browed, learned people begin to talk about, you know, well, billions of years ago, the earth, you know, came and was formed and, you know, and all this mess. They think they're so smart. They're really showing their ignorance. How foolish to deny the Creator. How foolish to turn your back upon the Creator of heaven. Now listen, let's move on down. The Bible says in verse 21, for after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hey, preacher, how do I get saved? Believe. Amen. Said it can't be that simple. Well, the Bible says it is. Amen. To believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust him, to call upon him, to know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. To believe the foolish of the preaching, to save them that believe. Have you believed upon Christ? Have you placed your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Do you have Bible assurance that heaven's your home? Not because of some good deed, not because of something you're trying to achieve, but because you throwed yourself, you believed upon Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, the Bible says the Jews require a sign, verse 22, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Boy, I like that phrase in verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. That's the message of the cross. That's the heart of God. That's the greatest message you could tell, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son of God, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. We preach Christ crucified. What a message, amen? We should never tire telling that story. We should never tire preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified for you and I. Well, the world wants to turn their back. They want to try to reason it out. They want to try to work it out their own way. Or they just want to deny and ignore the truth of creation and conscience and scripture. But the gospel keeps on going forward. Amen. To the Jews, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, verse 24, and the wisdom of God. This is the truth of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Bible says in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now who does God use? Well, thank God. He'll use you. Thank God he'll use me. Look at verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things, those low things, he said, of the world, and the things that are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why would he do that? Why does God choose what the world would consider ignorant and unlearned men? That's what they called the disciples. Said, well, these guys are just fishermen. What do they know? They haven't even been to school. They haven't even been educated. What do they know? I tell you, they know a whole lot. They knew a whole lot. Get my tongue to work. They knew a whole lot. They knew Jesus. Amen. They knew Jesus. Who were these men? For the most part, crude, rude fishermen. Unlearned for the most part, but called of God to be used to carry the gospel. Now, why does God do that? Look at verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Friend, that's an edict to every one of us that we are not to boast of the flesh. There's no big shots in God's work. There's no, highbrowed, superstars in God's work. I'm telling you, we don't glory in the flesh. We can't brag on the flesh. I tell you what the flesh needs. It needs to be crucified. Amen. Anytime we feel like the flesh is raising up, boy, we need to back up. Back up and let the Spirit of God lead, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Look at verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, friend, you know what? We're so saved, it's pathetic. Amen. The work that Christ did for us was a complete work. A complete, thorough work. Now, why is this? Verse 30, because you're in Christ. That means you're saved. You're in Him. By of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now, what did we get when we got in Christ Jesus? He gave us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I tell you, it just gets gooder and gooder and gooder. Amen? And better and better and better. Then how did all that happen? Well, you got in Christ. You got in Christ. You know, the beauty and the wonder of Christ is just discovering more about Him and discovering and learning more and more of who He is to us and just digging a little bit deeper in the well and just drawing out so much more of who Christ is to us. And these blessed words just scratch the surface of all that we are in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 31 and I'll be through. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's all for the Lord's glory. Amen. God's not going to share His glory. I mean, he desires all the glory, all the honor. We cannot boast of anything that we are, save just that we're saved and that He dwells inside of us. We're but just clay vessels, earthen vessels, but we have a great treasure inside. Amen? And that's Jesus Christ. Well, let me just plead with you tonight. Do you know that you're saved? I tell you, I can't emphasize that strong enough. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know Christ is your personal Savior? Well, I had an experience as a little child. Well, what about that experience? Tell me about it. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. I mean, can you truly say that God gave you a hunger for His Word? And you have a longing and a desire to please Him because you're His child. Amen. And then Hebrews tells us that he chastens His children. I mean, you get out of line as a child of God. He said, I'll scourge every son whom I receive. I'll correct that child. He's a good parent. Amen. He knows what it is to correct. And He knows how to correct. As one fellow said, there ain't no whooping like the Lord can give you. Amen. Ain't no whooping like the Lord can give you. I tell you, there's all kinds of things that reinforces us to give us the assurance that we're saved and on our way to heaven. And then the privilege of sharing that truth. One of the best kept secrets in America is just the simple message of the cross. It's clouded, it's confused, it's distorted, it's got a lot of man's wisdom in it. And I'll tell you, it could never be more simple. Men are lost and Jesus saves. Amen. Christ Jesus died upon the cross for our sins. Was buried 3 days later, rose up again. Amen. Thank God for the gospel. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for all these that have labored in the gospel. So we think about preachers and teachers and parents and men and women that we've known that have served in the gospel. Lord, our hearts are warmed as we think how wonderfully You've used others to be a help and a blessing to us. And Father, we pray that You'll help each of us to just again realize now it's our time to shine forth the truth of the gospel, to be the light and the salt in our communities, in our work, and those that we meet. May they see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, we pray for Your blessing. Bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name.